Good morning to you all. We welcome you to our services today on this Mother's Day. We're so glad that you're here. We're especially grateful for our moms that are present today. And we're going to be recognizing you at the end of the service. And we have some nice gifts for you to take with you. And we're glad that you are here. In our call to worship today, I want to draw your attention to a verse of Scripture that we find in Isaiah chapter 49 in verse 15, where this question is asked. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, there may be some. I get that. There may be some that forget, yet will I not forget thee. What a profound question. I can't think in my circle of people that I know any mom that would forget their infant child. We read stories in the newspaper or hear it on the news on a regular basis or on the internet of people who did horrible things to their infant children. There was a man that was arrested just this week in Escambia County that severely beat his little one-year-old child. And they caught him and arrested him. He was completely stoned out on drugs at the time and wanted to stop the crying. And it just breaks your heart. And the Lord says, yes, there are some that will forget their children. But then what does He say? I will never forget. I will not forget. You know, we are so thankful for our moms here, and we can all share stories of how moms have taken care of us through the years. And I went over to mom yesterday, went over to the house, and we were talking about some of those days. And I asked her, I said, Mom, I said, how come you wouldn't let me have sweets? And she said, well, if I let you have sweets in between meals, you wouldn't eat supper. And I figured supper would be better than the sweets. And I said, but Mom, I said, I'm diabetic now and I can't enjoy having sweets. So I missed it in my childhood and I missed it in my adult. We were joking around at that time. She said, yeah, but you're not overweight. And I said, well, that's a good point, Mom. I'll take that into consideration, you know. Now, my mom was a stickler for us not ruining our suppers, all right? She wanted to make sure that we didn't get our supper. So there was no snacks an hour before, none. You didn't even ask. Middle of the afternoon, maybe, all right? And it wasn't going to be much because she didn't want to spoil our supper time. And there were merits in that. She was looking out for us. She cared for us, all right? She established habits in our lives that have set us in good stead in adulthood. But there are some children that don't have that benefit today. And I am so glad that God steps in. Yes, they may forget, but I will never forget. We have a faithful God, do we not? Who cares for us and loves us and meets our needs. And so we give glory and praise to Him this morning on this Mother's Day. And we are thankful for our moms. And we rejoice in the gift that our church has of having so many good moms. That is a blessing to us all. It's a blessing to our children. It's a blessing to our teenagers that get to see good moms in action. And so we want to be thankful today for the Mother's Day that we celebrate and for the moms that we have here at Grace Bible Church.
Let's turn in our hymn books to number 397. As we begin to sing number 397, we want to sing Trusting Jesus. Number 397, let's stand together to sing.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way.
Trusting Jesus, that is all.
Dilbert comes to lead us in prayer this morning.
Let's pray. Lord, we do trust you. You're a great God. Thank you for the great instruction we've already gotten from your word this morning and how it pointed to your image. And you're wonderful, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for making a way for us to have an eternal relationship with you. Thank you for the great celebration we can have every Sunday. As the first day of the week, we come and just focus on the fact that you are a living Savior, and we can celebrate your resurrection today. We can celebrate life, your life-giving God, and just think of the moms today. Give them a special blessing, I pray, Lord, and a special encouragement. And Lord, just thank you for the gospel, the good news that everybody needs, and the privilege that we have of sharing it and spreading it wherever we go. And I pray for the pulpits throughout this state and throughout our nation and throughout the world today, that light would be spread and that the good news would be offered and the hearts would be open and receptive to it, because we know that's a great need of today and every day. And Lord, we just thank you again for allowing us to be here. You know each person that's here, Lord. I just pray that you meet the specific needs. Thank you that you're a personal God and that you don't just see a crowd here today. You see individuals. And Lord, you love each one of them, and you're going to help us today. We thank you for it. I thank you for this church. I pray that you would bless this church and continue to keep it strong in your word and unashamed on what it stands for in truth. And Pastor Brandon, the Lord, just uphold him and the other leaders of this church and each person that's a part of the body here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now to number 196. We'll sing verses 1 and 3, the first and last verses of Rejoice in the Lord, number 196.
Thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems hard.
511. Number 511, we want to sing Jesus Calls Us. Number 511. We'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth. Number 511.
Justice is appeased. Jesus is crushed, and thus the Father's pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, then cried, 'Tis done. Sin's wage is paid, propitiation won. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He as though I, accursed and left alone. I as though he, embraced and welcomed home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone.
appreciate that beautiful number by Pastor Watt and Nicole Hafner. Would you take your Bibles, please, this morning, and let's turn together to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. I haven't spoken in recent years from this passage because I've had other passages that the Lord has laid on my heart. And I want to take a little bit different tack this time as I look at this particular subject today. And I'm going to be dealing with the price of motherhood. I don't have to tell the moms that are here that there is a price that is paid for being a mom. I read recently an article as I was down in South Florida. There was a little booklet that was left there, and I was reading through it, and it had a lady that was quoted. She's a social anthropologist who wrote a book called Ourselves as Mothers. Her name is Sheila Kissinger, and this is what she wrote. It was kind of interesting to me. Becoming a mother is a biological process, but it's also a transformation. And one of the most dramatic that a woman may experience. The home is supposed to be a haven of love and good feelings. Thus, it comes as a great disappointment to many women when it proves not to be so for them. For home is also a place where the ugliest and most destructive emotions are often experienced, where there is disturbing interpersonal conflict, and inside four walls, these raw feelings are concentrated and mixed together as in a pressure cooker. Happy as a woman may be about having a baby, and although she may enjoy being a mother, she must now pay the price of motherhood. And the price is the total and virtual annihilation of self. That last phrase summed it up, because that's the Proverbs 31 woman. And as I read that, I said, well, she probably doesn't know what she just said. But she encapsulated what the Bible tells us about the virtuous woman. Now, there's all kinds of women in the book of Proverbs. There's the odious woman, all right? I'm not preaching on the odious woman this morning, all right? I have done that in the past. Just the very sound of that just sends tingles up your spine. The odious woman, what is that, you know? And we're told about the harlot in the early chapters of the book of Proverbs. There's all kinds of different women that are talked about in the book of Proverbs, but then there's the virtuous woman. And she is willing to pay a price. Now, I found this interesting. I'll put this up here. About how much it costs to raise one child in America. All right? How much does it cost? How much did it cost to raise Luke Carmichael? All right? To age 18. Now, it may be more than this. I don't know, Grace. We'll have to see. From the day your baby is born until the day they turn 18, your family will spend, on average, $310,605, or about $17,000 a year. Some of you are saying, well, I don't even make that much a year. How did I do that? Well, according to the Brookings Institute, analysis of data from the U.S. Agriculture Department. It costs a lot of money to rear a child, but there are other costs as well. And this is a big one right here that we're going to talk about. Self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. But you can't really put this in monetary terms, what we're going to be dealing with today, but it's something that has to be paid. The Bible makes it clear that love involves sacrifice. How did God demonstrate His love to you as a sinner? He sacrificed His Son. Jesus came and showed His love to you by being sacrificed. Throughout the Bible, you see this picture of love joined with sacrifice. Love joined with sacrifice. But today, the whole idea of sacrifice is being attacked. As a matter of fact, the University of California, Berkeley, Kim Giles said this, you aren't capable of real love until your own needs are met. Now let that soak in for just a moment what she's saying. Your needs all have to be met first before you can even love somebody. You know how false that is? That is totally false. Corrie ten Boom, I'll give you an example. Were all their needs met? When they were hiding Jews behind secret walls and feeding them every day and hiding them from the Nazis? No. But you know what they demonstrated? Love. Sacrificial love. They didn't have all their needs met, but they were able to love. I could give you 1,000 illustrations from the Bible of simple love. Here's Obadiah. He's working for King Ahab. And King Ahab wants to kill all of the prophets of God. And what does Obadiah do? He goes and he rounds up all 100 of them and hides them in caves. And every day he comes and delivers them food. Now, I don't know whether all of Obadiah's needs were being met, but I would estimate that it's not an easy thing to round up enough food to feed 100 people every day. Can you imagine what your kitchen would be like? You say, well, I have 2 teenage boys. That's close to 100. All right? Well, it may be close, but it's not the same. Here was Obadiah every day trying to keep this a secret from the king. Going to these people and not giving away where they're hidden. All that pressure to save their lives. What do we call that? We call that sacrifice. We call that sacrifice. Oh, the Bible indicates this. No greater love hath a man than this, that a man give his life for his what? His friend. A man give his life for his friend. Yesterday I watched a program. It was a documentary on war heroes. And they were talking about these men that were willing to sacrifice their lives for an ideal. All right? Liberty. That was the whole point. Because all of these men that died in World War II had written about their love for America and their love for freedom and their love for liberty, and they wanted to preserve it for their children. And so they were willing to go to a foreign land and fight the enemy to keep that enemy's ideas and philosophy from coming over here and ruining their children's lives. And one by one they began to go through and the stories of these men and what they went through and finally giving their life for an idea. What do we call that? I know what they call it at Arlington National Cemetery. They call it sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. So we're going to talk about this in relationship to moms, but I wanted to share this verse in my devotions this week. I like to read through the book of Ruth. Okay, ladies, if you want a love story, forget Harlequin. All right, go to the Bible and read the book of Ruth. You talk about a love story. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful love story it is. And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." You know what he's honoring in Ruth? You know what appealed to Boaz? Okay? Oh man, she's beautiful. Well, I want her hanging on this arm. Was that what he commented on? And when I saw you for the first time walking across the field, man, he said, woo! Is that what he talks about? No, it's been fully told me. It's been fully told me what you did for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband and how you took care of her and how you came with her. You left everything, your mom and your dad, you left everything and you came here to a place you've never been before. That appeals to me. By the way, boys, young men, you better be looking for a young lady of character. Can anyone tell me what comes to mind when you read about Ruth? Character. I don't know what she looked like. All right? Maybe she was beautiful. Does it matter? It does in this generation. In this generation, it's all about looks. How you look. I want to tell you something. Boaz was moved by this woman's character. Who did he end up marrying? Thank you. Some of you are still awake out there. Yeah. Sounded all like a bark. Ruth. Yeah. Ruth. All right. She was the one that caught the eye of Boaz. And Boaz said, "I want to marry that girl." What a difference character makes. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The price of motherhood from Proverbs 31. This is the way I looked at it this time. All right? The annihilation of self. I want you to see this from this book. Would you look, please, at verse 13? We're going to pick up in the account there. Verse 13. Look at this thought here. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. How many of you ladies wish you were working with wool this morning? Yeah. How about flax? Yeah. Willingly working with her hands. All I can think about is that would be the most boring job ever. Now, I thought shelling butter beans was awful. Okay? By the end of the day, your thumbs are raw. They're pink raw from shelling butter beans. And that's the most boring job in the world. You want to know what the most boring job in the world is? Okay? I would rather go out and cut grass, rake leaves, than to shell butter beans. There's just something about it. I don't know what it is. But that's the case. But this woman, she went after the wool and the flax, and she willingly worked it with her hands. You know what that tells me? She was willing to pay the price of servanthood. Could she have gotten somebody else to do that?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, she could have. But she didn't. She did it herself. She paid a price of motherhood. And she became a servant. Oh, this is missing today. This whole concept of servanthood, this idea of me sacrificing what I could let somebody else do, but I want to do it because I love my family. I want to do that job myself. I don't want to pass it on to somebody else. You know, I do parent line in the afternoons, and a lot of times when people come through and I'll open the door and all this junk comes falling out on the ground. Empty cups, food from 2 or 3 weeks ago. I picked a hamburger off of the ground this year that I don't know, it was hard as a rock. All right? I don't know how long it's been in there. And the kids climbed up in there and that poor thing, I mean, it was just junk and trash everywhere. And all I could think about says, nobody cares. I mean, nobody cares. How could you do that to your children? To climb over clutter and garbage and junk that's been sitting there for so long. And it's not just one. It happens quite often. This abhorrence of servanthood is the destruction of our children. Because moms, that's the price you pay for being a mom. As this lady, as I read here, said, it is the total and virtual annihilation of self. She gets it. She gets it. That's what the proverb, that's what God says. This is virtuous. Well, we would say virtuous is getting somebody else to do that. No, we don't do those kind of things. No, she was willing to work with her hands because she loved her family. I'm going to take you to a second one here. Verse 14. She was willing to pay the price of preparation. What does preparation involve? Planning ahead. So many people that live off the cuff. You know what I'm saying? No, we have to do that. I mean, things happen, right? Somebody shows up. Hey, how you doing? We're here for dinner. What? Honey, did you invite them over? Yeah, I forgot to tell you about that. Okay, panic mode, right? My life is going to end tonight because I forgot to tell somebody. You know? Oh, I said, well, we'll just take them out to eat. We go, no, we'll fix something. We'll do something, you know? Now listen, preparation. Notice this in verse 14. About this mother. She is like the merchant ships. Now, moms, stop for just a moment. Have you ever been told you're like a merchant ship? I dare say that if Grover went home to Linda, Linda, I just want you to know on this Mother's Day that you remind me of a ship. See? She would boot him from East Milton to West Milton. All right? A merchant. That's the best romantic words you can come up with, Grover. I'm like a ship. What are you saying? And then it goes down here from there, brother. Right? Yeah. She is like a merchant ship. Now, what's he getting to here? Notice this, please. She bringeth her food from where? Now, you have to plan for that. Now, we're not living in the days here of speedboats, are we? Merchant ships, it took weeks to travel from one area of the Mediterranean to the other. So you had to get your order in. They had to go get it. And they had to bring it back in so you would have food for your family. What does that mean? She was willing to pay the price of preparation. Preparation. This again is missing. This element of raising our children to learn how to prepare themselves and to prepare for their families and to think ahead. You know, one of the first lessons that I had to learn when I first started in ministry, when I saw all the things that were ahead, the first thing that came to my mind was, man, I better get on this right now. I can't wait to the last minute. Spring concert. My first spring concert. You're in charge of doing that, Todd. And this was in September. I hit the panic button. Man, I was like, what am I going to do? And I went to work and I started planning and I started preparing. Does that take time? Does that mean sacrifice? Yes, it does. Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll do the spring concert. I'll give them their stuff 2 or 3 days before. And we'll get up there. It's going to be great! Right? No, it would be a living disaster and I wouldn't have been doing spring concerts anymore. Maybe I should have done that. I wouldn't have had to do it anymore. But it would have been a disaster! What do? You prepare. Moms know this. Moms know this. That's where they carry those big giant purses around. Yeah. The ones that we laugh at said, that is one big purse. How did you do that? How do you carry it? All right. But inside is everything you need. Man, when we were growing up, my grandmother, my mom did this too, but my grandmother, Granny we called her, she had a purse, and buddy, that thing was heavy. She carried everything that she needed for Sunday to church and Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday too. I mean, she had gum in there. She had aspirin. She had combs and brushes. And she had her cash in there and 3 or 4 spots stashed in there, hidden away where she always had enough to be able to get what she needed. And that purse was heavy. I remember a couple of times having to carry it for her. And Granny, what in the world have you got in here? My necessities. My necessities. All right? You just didn't ask questions. You just carried it for her. Moms are notorious for being prepared for just about anything. Nosebleed. Got it. Out come this huge box of tissues out of that big purse. Take care of it. All right? Something else comes up. Oh, I've got a backache. I've got something right here. Just happen to have my Doane's pills with me. Pop it open. Boom. Prepared. You know that that's the price of motherhood? You better write it down, girls. You young ladies that are growing up. Preparation is required to be a good mom. Number 3. I want you to see in verse 15 that she pays the price. Oh, you're not going to like this, ladies. You've done it. Lost sleep. Lost sleep. Now, you men are already thinking, how come we don't have a Proverbs 31 for men? Have you ever asked that question? Anybody ever? I've asked the Lord several times, how come, Lord, you give this long, long chapter dedicated to women, virtuous woman, has all these wonderful things. I don't see one for the man. That's because we're dumb as a box of rocks. If God would have given us 2 chapters, we'd have missed it. Right? But women, God said, I'm going to give them a special place in the Word. Because they're the ones that pay the price of those long nights without sleep. You know, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how my wife did it growing up with all our 4 kids. I mean, she has hearing that is incredible. She can hear a fly flying in the air the next room over with the doors closed. Okay? She has incredible hearing, and she can hear the babies crying or whatever. Oh, I hear the baby crying. She'd gone like that. I mean, just amazing. And then the next morning, I'm getting out of bed, trying to like that. And here she's running around. She's already done 6-7 things. She's washed all the clothes, and she's fixed breakfast and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just trying to figure out who I am in the morning time. Isn't it amazing what God has equipped women to be able to do? But that's a price. That's sacrifice. Notice this in verse 15. It says, she riseth while it is yet what? Everybody say it. Let's let the men say it.
Night.
Night. Hard to cough it out, wasn't it, men? Yeah. While it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. She not only cooks for her kids and her husband, but she cooked for her maidens. She rose up early. You know, we're living in a day where sleeping in has become almost a national right. And our society has gotten so slovenly that we can't be on time to just about anything. I got chewed out after the award ceremony. A mama came up, she just let loose on me. And she said, why did you start the award ceremony early? And I said, I didn't. I started it right on time. I always started on time. If it said 5 o'clock, we start at 5 o'clock. Right? Well, some of us can't make it at 5 o'clock. Well, I said, you're still going to get your trophy and certificate. Yeah, but you called our team first. I said, well, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. We put out the time at the beginning of the season so you could plan ahead. Remember the preparation part? All right? We didn't let you know yesterday. We let you know way back in March when we handed you the schedule. And it said, award ceremony, 5 o'clock, field 3. And boy, she just went on and on and on. And I just reached over and I grabbed the trophy and certificate. I said, here you go. This is for your child. Next year, be on time. She showed up at 10 after 5, by the way. We were supposed to wait 10 minutes for her to get there. Now, there are some people that live that way. But not this woman. Not the virtuous woman. No, she was up while it was still night. And she was getting the jobs done. She was willing to pay the price to be a good mom. That's what God says is virtuous. So what is the other way of living? Slovenly. I get up when I want to get up. No big deal. It's not virtuous. You've accepted a lower standard than what God says. Be the right kind of mom, you got to be willing to pay the price of lost sleep. Let's go on to another one here. Some of these are pretty steep in cost, in price. Look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. One person said, well, see there, we ought to be going out to workout places. All right, that's fine. You want to do that. But I want to tell you something. You lift kids, all right? You take care of that. I've seen some mamas. I remember one time I was struggling getting a pitching machine off of a field. I was carrying the bucket, and I was trying to do that. I should have just left the bucket and wheeled the pitching machine in there. And this woman, this mom, comes up. She's got 3 kids in tow. And she says, I'll take that. And she snatched that bucket out of my hand like it was nothing. And she toted that thing over, holding a baby, carrying a bucket. She carried it over there. I felt really embarrassed. Okay? You know? I was looking at her, and I started looking there. And I thought, oh, don't look at that, you know? Yeah. She did that. And I watch moms. Man, they have these massive car carrier type things. It looks like a bus that you fold out. We have a lady that has triplets out here at the ballpark, and she has this bus. It's lined out, boom, 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 and she's out there. You know, it's nothing for her. And I'm like, how do you put that thing together and take it apart again and stick it back in your van to go home? It's amazing what women can do. She strengthens her arm. In other words, it's purposeful. It's purposeful. She has a purpose in mind, and that purpose brings about the strengthening of her arms because she's working. Amen? She's working! Again, in our society, we don't work productively. Now, I'm not saying anything against going out to workout centers, but what productive thing have you done? Okay, did anything get finished? Did a project get completed? No, you went. Okay. And if you're Mr. Gower there on the treadmill, right, Kevin? I don't even know if he goes to a workout place. Do you go to a workout place? You do. All right. Good. Good. So, but when you get done and you walk out to your car and you're all sweaty from doing all that work like that, all you've done is go through the exercise routines. But there was no product produced other than your body, right? That's my point. This woman is not that way. She produces a product while she's strengthening her arms. And that's the point. Let's keep moving here. Time's almost gone. Number 5, verse 18. She pays the price of long days. Oh, you had to go there, Pastor Brainerd. Well, I didn't go there. God did. Verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Well, the merchandise is here. We got to get it on the shelves. The merchandise is here. We got to get it processed. And so the candle doesn't go out. The picture is the light stays on. The light stays on because there's work to be done. We're living in a time in which the willingness to do that kind of effort is waning. Selfish pursuits, hobbies, television, computer, phone, parties, posting constantly on social media takes a lot of valuable time. Can I say that again? The constant posting of your pictures of yourself and so forth like that. I'm sorry, I don't have time to see what you look like at 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9, 9:15. You know, okay? I don't know how they do it. I just burned 10 seconds, all right? And all I did was take pictures of myself. Then we have to go, bink, Instagram. There we go. Enjoy, everybody. Okay? What production have I done of any value? I told people what I'm doing. And they're completely like, why do they do that? Right? Now, let's be honest. We're like, what are they doing? I mean, don't they know that they didn't brush their teeth this morning and they got food particles right between their teeth and they just took a picture of themselves? Okay, I saw that recently. They had something. I don't know if they had turnip greens or what, but it was right there in the center. Click for everybody. And it never goes away. Never goes away. Somewhere out there. My point is this, she's willing to pay the price of a long day because there's work to be done. There's work to be done. Things have to be done. Callous disregard for the needs of children and the family in general happens in America. Making sure that they're at school on time, making sure that they're fed and nourished. I had a little girl 3 months ago standing out here in the hallway, and I usually greeting the kids and so forth like that. She walked up to me and said, Mr. Brainerd, do you have any food? I said, what? Do you have any food? And I said, yes, I do. I said, did you not have breakfast this morning? Sometimes mommy doesn't get up, and daddy brought me today, and I didn't have any breakfast this morning. Do you have any food? And so I went and got her a protein bar, and I gave it to her. You would have thought that I had given her a gold nugget. She devoured that thing just as fast as she could, and all I could say, all I could think about was the home life wasn't right. The candle had gone out. You hear me this morning? The candle had gone out, and a little child is rushed to get their clothes on and rushed into the car and rushed to school with no food, and it didn't even dawn on their mind that our child was just sent to school without anything to eat. I have become that child's best friend. Okay? We went a whole month and a half before it happened again. Mr. Brainerd, I hate to ask you this, but do you have a protein bar that I could have for breakfast? I feel for her. She's a sweet girl, and she's making the best that she can do. All right? But what about mom and dad? I've often thought about, I don't want to embarrass them because maybe they're going through financial issues or so forth like that, and we have a fund to help out with kids that have issues in that regard. But all I could think about was mom and dad at home. What is going on? I would do everything that I could do to make sure my kids were fed before they went to school. It may not be much, but at least have something to eat. But we're living in that day where the candle goes out. We'll let it burn out. We're almost done here. She pays the price of weathered hands. I want you to see this, verses 19 through 20. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Do you see how many times the hands are referred to? By the way, there's a study alone just on the hands of a mother. I'm going to preach that maybe next year. The hands of a mother. Do you know what it does to your hands to work? The things that are mentioned there, the hold, the distaff. The hands are weathered. My mom's hands, she lost her fingerprints about 25 years ago. When she went down to get fingerprinted to babysit our kids by the DCF, they said, we can't find anything. Her fingerprints were gone. We've had a number of ladies through the years that we've had to work it out with the FBI where we no longer do fingerprints. We just do a name only type screening because all the years of work have taken away the handprints. Let me ask you something. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? My mom has said many times, oh yes, it was worth it. Yeah, but you've worn, your hands are weathered. And then there are those that are constantly worried about manicure. Now that's okay. I think you ought to have clean fingernails. I think that's a good thing. And you ought to take care of your hands and so forth if you can. But hard work plays a role. I had a boss at Bob Jones University who was the stage manager. Mr. Mel Stratton was his name. And he had calluses on top of calluses. When you shook your head, you didn't know what his fingers were like because you couldn't get past the calluses. His hands, massive calluses all over his hands from hard work. He built everything that was used on the stage. He had cars always parked in there that he was working on staff people in his after hours to rebuild their motors for him because they couldn't afford to go to an automobile shop to have it done. He would do it for them. His hands were just calloused with work. And mom's hands are weathered with time. Bible says this mother was willing to pay that price. Willing to pay that price. And then verse 26 says, she paid the price of restricted speech. This is what hit me on Thursday of this week. When I was reading through this again, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Listen to the words of Scripture. In her tongue, in her mouth, is the law of kindness. She's willing to pay the price of restricted speech. Some things ought not to be said. Some things ought not to be written. And this mother paid the price of restricted speech. You know what she did? She put herself under the law of kindness. And she said, I'm not going to say anything that's unkind. She put herself under the guise of, I'm going to speak that which is wise. I'm not going to speak foolishness. So she was willing to pay the price of restricted speech. I want to finish. Is it worth paying the price, ladies? Listen to these words. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord shall be what? Praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let her work bring praise in the gates. Oh, how we are thankful for godly moms that are willing to pay the price. We talked about what it costs to raise one child in America to age 18, and how much Luke cost. Now, over $310,000. By the way, your mom's sending you a bill after the service, just so you know. It costs a lot to raise kids in monetary value, but it costs way more than that. Sacrificial love. Sacrifice. Sacrifice your time. Sacrifice your hands. Sacrifice everything about what it means to be a mother. Sacrifice all those things. Complete and total annihilation of self. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I thank you so much for the testimony of your word. And Lord, as we're about to recognize these moms, I pray that you might work in our hearts and lives. We've got some young girls growing up in this church. We've got some young ladies that are teenage age and some that are college age. And they aspire to be wives. They aspire to be moms someday. Lord, I pray that they might understand and realize the price of motherhood. You've given it to us. You've said the person that does these things is a virtuous woman. Lord, help us to esteem your word highly, and that we would take to heart the things that we've learned today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to take a few moments to ask that all of our moms please come forward. We want you to come and just face toward the audience here. But we want to recognize all the moms that are here today. We have got a gift out in the foyer for every one of our moms. I want us all, those that are seated, and even our guest moms, you come forward too. We want all of our moms to come forward because we want to recognize you today. I want you to think for just a moment as we close this service here. Where were these moms today? Thank you, Mr. O'Pager. They were in church. They were at church. Praise God. Amen? First of all, they're at church. And the testimony of these ladies right here that we have at Grace Bible Church is that they love the Lord Jesus Christ and they want their kids to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest aspiration of any mom. And so we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray and we're going to thank God for our moms today. And then I would like for y'all to start over here and work your way through and shake their hands and tell them, thank you for being a godly mom. Will you do that? And then tell them that you're going to pray for them. Would you do that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for these ladies. What a testimony. They're here at church today. We thank you, Father, for the fact that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. They've made such unbelievable sacrifices in the years of teaching their children. I pray that you would reward them, that you would bestow upon them your grace and mercy. And Lord, only you can reward in a way that's meaningful. And we owe that fact today. And we pray for them. Many of them are becoming grandmothers soon. I pray that they would be the right kind of grandmother as well and be concerned about their grandkids and pray for them daily. And then as they minister to them, to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, what a blessing to have godly mothers and godly grandmothers. And so, Father, today we look to you for special grace upon these ladies. And I pray that you would put in the hearts of all of our children and our teenagers here and those that are seated, all of our men, help them to appreciate what these moms have done and are doing and will do. Help us never to grow cold and uncaring and unappreciative. And I thank you, Father, for how you've worked in our lives and in the lives of these moms. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.